I just wanted to thank you for taking the time to speak to us here at National Rock Review. We appreciate you for speaking to us. So the first question that I've got is about your latest album, The Devil You Know. I was just wondering if you could tell us a little bit about it and your inspiration behind the album.
Sure. Well, after making, quite a few records in my career over the last 20 years or so, I was really wanting to do something a little different, and I was listening to, a lot of different music, and interesting things happened in the last few years. My youngest children became teenagers, and they turned me on to a lot of good music.
Okay.
Driving to school in the morning, as they became older, they started really getting into music, and they like really good music. So won't go into a lot more about that, but it really had a pretty significant influence on the type of listening that I was doing these last few years. And so I felt like I really wanted to, get my music down to a more guitar-driven sound.
Yeah.
It's kind of where I started out, basically, a little bit more about the guitar. And I wanted to do something different with the drums. I wanted to do different rhythms, starting to get bored with sort of the same old blues and R&B and rock and roll beats that we were using a lot. Those couple of things also had a list of special guests, friends of mine who we had talked about, possibly guesting on my album, and I wanted to add some of my friends on this one. So there was a lot of that going on. This new group I started called the Painkillers.
Yeah.
Which really started when my old bass player came back into the fold.
Right.
There's another phone in the house ringing.
Okay.
Better get away from it.
Okay.
So a lot of things were going on about the time I decided to do The Devil You Know.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. So in terms of your own musical influences, who would you say are your own musical influences?
Well, God, there's so many, but if I start out at the basics, with the basics, it's, B.B. King and Ray Charles.
Yeah.
Wilson Pickett, Little Richard and James Brown.
Yeah.
And then you've got, you'd have to consider things like the Rolling Stones and 10 Years After and Humble Pie. I'm just let my brain wander around music, at the moment. Guys like Elvin Bishop and Michael Bloomfield, big influences on me early on. And let me see, you couldn't be growing up here in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yeah.
Also influenced by guys like Santana and the Grateful Dead. I mean,
nice.
You can't really
not
consider that that great also the great sounds of the big funk and soul bands like Cold Blood and Tower of Power.
Yeah. Love Tower of Power.
So I could go on and on. I mean, I'm a big Bob Dylan fan.
Yeah.
I like great songwriting. I like Van Morrison's music a lot. I just have a lot of so what happens is over the years, I'm feeling a little bit more this direction or that direction.
Yeah.
As I go through my life and through my music. And every record I make has a different flavor to it.
Yeah, I mean, from those influences you just mentioned there, you've got the funk, you've got the soul, you've got the blues, you've got rock and roll. There's a lot of varied stuff in there, and all great music. So on your latest album, like you just mentioned briefly about the collaboration, so you've got some great guests on there, Joe Bonamassa and Tab Benoit and Sam Fish, just to name but a few. How did that come about, getting those guys on the album? Did you have those particular artists in mind for particular tracks, or you know, did you just send the album or you know, send out some demos and you know see which ones they would like to play on, or you know, how did it come around?
Most of it kind of happened as we were creating and working on the songs. I started thinking of my friends that I had talked to in the past about possibly guesting, you know, at some point. And you know how it is, you know, you hang out with people on the blues cruise, or you run into your friends at a festival, and you talk about your latest project, you know, and you go, man, I'd sure love to have you come and do a song with me, that kind of thing.
And I was
really excited about Joe Bonamassa. He had, you know, agreed to do something with me, and so I had a song in mind for him. I kind of earmarked that song that we did, the Savoy Brown song.
Yeah.
I'm Tired. I just thought it would be a great match, you know, for him, me, and it was. It was a lot of fun to play, and he really came through for me in a big way with his contribution. His guitar work, amazing stuff, you know. Tab, it was a matter of where we were going to be able to catch him while he was such a busy guy here in the States, touring all the time. And he was producing a record for another artist, you know, and it was looking like he might not be able to find the time. But as it turned out, he was going to be touring through here at the same time as we were still working on songs. And so I called him in on a song that I had, we were working on, and I just thought, what a great, you know, sort of rather spontaneous, the timing of it all. It came together when it did. That song called Cross the Mississippi was a song that we were going to do before, you know, whether Tab was involved or not, you know. It was just a song that my bass player and I had written, Randy McDonald, and also our producer Bonnie Hayes contributed a lot to writing on that song. But so that happened. Marsha Ball happened to be in town also doing some gigs, you know, and she's a friend of mine, and we just thought, wow, we're cutting Mojo Hannah. That's a perfect song for Marsha.
Yeah.
Let's get her in. You know, so things happen a lot like that.
Yeah, a lot of organic stuff just coming along and right place, right time, people.
And I, you know, something like the Two Steps with Magic Dick and the Holmes Brothers. I was listening to that. And I was thinking, man, that would be a great song for a killer harmonica solo. And he was like my first choice. So that, you know, that worked out quite naturally, and then I wanted some background vocals, some very soulful background vocals on that track, and so my label mates, the Holmes Brothers, were available, and it was great.
Yeah.
So things, you know, combination of planning and spontaneity on that.
Great. Okay, so you've just had all those guys on your latest album. Is there anybody, if you could get any one artist in particular to collaborate with on a future project, who would be like your dream collaboration?
My dream collaboration?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh.
It's a tough one, eh?
I have to give that some serious thought if I could get anybody who wanted. Taj Mahal?
Yeah, that's me.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that'd be a good one. So you just mentioned there, obviously, with you've got all those guests on the latest album, Tab and Sam Fish particularly, you've just been out on the road with those guys across the US on the Six Strings Down tour. That must have been amazing. How did that go?
It was nothing but fun.
Yeah.
All great music, great, you know, hanging out, you know, great people to hang out with, and I wish that we would do some more of that.
Yeah.
And I hopefully that will be the case somewhere down the road.
Yeah. I was fortunate enough to photograph Samantha about a month or two back when she was over here on tour with Mike Cedo. She was on fire at the minute, so good. So that must have been great.
Yeah.
I would love for that tour to come to the UK sometime.
Samantha's really got, really gifted, talented artist. And, she's just so young and still has a long ways to go, but she's already really got great skills and a natural sort of, ability to perform. Just amazing guitar work, singing, stage presence, energy, the whole thing,
Yeah.
And the fact that she's very, has a great look about her is just icing on the cake, you know, but it's mostly substance with her. And Tavon Waugh, man, you ask for an original indigenous American sort of, roots artist. I mean, Tab is a great example of what could come growing out of, out of the roots music of America. And I think he really represents us well, coming from Louisiana, one of the great music areas of the United States, and being able to, bring that culture and bring it out in a way that the masses are exposed to it, it's not so deep in tradition that it's it's not just strictly like an example of an art form. It's more progressive than that. It's more, mixed with different kinds of blues and rock and roll, and he does some soul music in his show from time, but he does it all with a three-piece band, just a trio.
Yeah.
And his way of delivering this music that he brings with him from home is really refreshing to see, because it's so honest and it's so, just right there and without a lot of, window dressing.
Yeah.
It's all just real as it can get. And I'm a huge fan. So anyway.
That's cool. So you mentioned briefly before there about the Painkillers. So you've got like your new four-piece band together, the Painkillers. Can you tell us a bit about the band and how you all met?
Well, originally, when I started a band in San Francisco back in the early 90s, I was teamed up with a bass player, Randy McDonald, who I had worked with in a soul band called the Dynatones back before that.
Yeah.
And I was, I'm a blues guy, but I really like, greasy Memphis style soul music a lot.
Yeah.
So I wanted a bass player that had some experience with that, kind of a traditional style player,
Yeah.
And a good guy, and it was Randy and I always, got along. So he and I started the band together many years ago, and then for personal reasons and family reasons, he had to leave the group for a while, and it was never understood that he would be coming back. Decided that he had to get off the road for a while.
Yeah,
for very good reasons. Anyway, so he decided after a few years went by, everything worked out with his family and things were going well, and he just really wanted to get back to work in music, which was his, his passion. And so he thought he would start by calling me. And at the time, I had a bass player, great player, great guy. Also, you might have seen him on tour with Zito and Samantha, Scott Sutherland.
He was
in my band while Randy was gone.
Right.
And but he lives in the Midwest, and we're based on the West Coast.
Right.
And that was not working out.
Yeah.
so well anymore. And I was looking to do something about that. At the same time, Randy was looking to come back, and right. So it just worked out. We decided we wanted a smaller, more hard-driving act, and basically without the horns this time. It was the first time in 20 years that I was going to do a group without any horns at all.
Yeah.
And, we started out with one horn, amazing sax player, Keith Crossan, who I still work with, from time to time, like, he played New Year's Eve with us, and he's going to be going on the Blues Cruise with us in about a week.
Yeah.
So Keith's still in the picture, but more part-time now and then full-time. And I was doing this new act without horns, and the sound of an album without horns for the first time. And I wanted to see, where would I go with that, So we went with a keyboard player named James Pace.
Yeah.
And we've had a couple of different drummers already. We're just breaking in a new one.
Yeah.
So on the album is Byron Cage.
Yeah.
And I think Byron was brought a lot to the project, really great style, great player, great dude to have in your band. And we miss him a lot. And then we had David Tucker came in to take his place. Byron had to leave for, same kind of thing. His family needed him back home when he was they're based on the East Coast. And we're on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So it wasn't going to work out with him anymore.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason that Byron left. Then comes David Tucker, a great drummer from here in the North, Northern California. And he spent about a year and a half with us. And, reasons come up, it's time for him to move on, and that we're breaking in a cat named Bowen Brown.
Right.
Wow. So it's going to be me and Randy,
yeah.
James Pace, and Bowen Brown will be the new lineup for the Painkillers.
Excellent. Sounds great. So how long have you actually been playing the guitar?
I've been playing since I was 10.
Wow.
And if I had known I was going to be doing this for a living, when I started, I would have practiced more.
Yeah.
It was a surprise to me that I could actually, get gigs and stuff. I always did it for fun. It was just something I loved to do for fun. I was not aspiring to be a professional musician. And so I just had fun with it. And, but I always wound up in a band. I was always in some kind of a band, and those bands would start to work more. And eventually, one day, I was trying various other ways of making a living. I realized that I should do what I love to do, and just I think I heard that somewhere. I think it might have been George Burns.
Yeah.
The secret to happiness was find something that you love to do and make that your job. And I'm like, that's really good advice, And I'm not sure if that was what got me to thinking that way, or it just something, a light bulb went off in my head at one point, and I decided to follow this. And
that's great.
And
yeah.
So I started at 10, and now I'm going to be looks like I'm going to be 60 in April.
There you go.
Wow. So I've been playing the guitar for 50 years, wow. It seems.
So in terms of your guitar, can you tell us a little bit about your setup? I always get asked by guitarists to ask the artists I interview about, what they're playing, what kind of guitars, what kind of amps, the pedals and all that kind of stuff. So what kind of makes your setup? What kind of makes your tone?
Lately it's been this Category 5 amplifier.
Yeah.
It's a Category 5 Vera is the model.
Yeah.
It has channel switching with some overdrive built into the amp. Real nice. Great quality. Great sounding amp. And we have I just built a guitar out of different parts. I mean, I played a Strat for many years, a 66 Strat. And I just decided I didn't want to be dragging that thing around anymore because it means a lot to me. I would hate to lose it, you know, or have something happen to it. And the airlines have gotten more aggressive about that.
Yeah.
And taking your guitar, you know, throwing it in the, luggage with all the other luggage. I'm like, that was getting kind of scary. So I built a guitar that was, you know, I could afford to lose it if it happened.
Right.
And also at the same time, I wanted to, I was liking the sound of humbucker pickups. I also have a Gibson Firebird that I love.
Yeah.
And that had many humbuckers in it. And I decided I'm going to make a guitar that had a humbucker, a P90, and a single coil Stratton pickup all in one guitar. And I made it on where you can order parts on a website called Warmoth Guitars.
Yeah.
And they just have all the body parts that you need and all the electronics that you need and all the hardware you need. And you just order all the parts that you want and they route it out the body the way you want it. And then I had somebody just put it all together for me.
That's
so
cool.
It's kind of I'm going to call it the Stratocaster.
I like that.
It has a Stratocaster neck and a Jazzmaster body and Tele switch on it and all, you know, it's kind of all the best things from all the different guitars I like.
That's perfect. I love that. So like you said, you've been playing for 50 years and you know, you must have played a lot of great venues in that time. Is there anywhere still that you would like love to play, like any one, you know, room that you've always wanted, you know, that's been on your list for a long time, like your dream gig?
Well, I'd love to play Jazz Fest in New Orleans at least once.
Right.
That seems to be that's one that we've never had the chance to do.
Yeah.
But we've had some, you know, I think, you know, the other thing that would be really cool to do would be Eric Clapton's guitar.
Crossroads,
thank you.
Yeah.
That would be awesome, you know.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, we've played so many really cool gigs over the years, you know, that, you know, we get to do this blues cruise. If you don't know what it is, it's probably the most fun of any gig we've ever had because it just, you throw a bunch of musicians together on a giant ship. It's not a little ship. It's a huge ship. It's like a hotel.
Yeah.
So like you're all hanging out in this one hotel.
Yeah.
And everybody gets to hang out and jam.
Yeah.
It's like something that never happens anywhere else, you know? And I get to sit down and, you know, talk to guys like Taj Mahal, one of my heroes, or Elvin Bishop.
Yeah.
Or, you know, sit in with Bobby Bland. And, you know, amazing things have happened on those ships. And then, of course, I know we've played a lot of really cool festivals. I remember opening up for Ray Charles one time, and I thought that was about the most amazing thing that ever was going to happen to me.
Yeah.
And then later on, we wound up going out on a tour a couple of summers with B.B. King and Buddy Guy.
Nice.
And you know, got to play a lot of really cool venues, but it's not so much the venue itself as it is, you know, the experience and the people that you're working with and the audience. You know, those are the two things that matter the most.
Yeah.
Really make it all worth, you know, all the hard work.
Yeah.
All the hard work, you know, and all of the, you know, sort of, you know, crazy travel that we have to do. And let's face it, not a lot of people are getting rich doing this at this end of the business. You know, if you decide to be a blues musician, you better be doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I make a nice living, but, you know, we're certainly not doing it for the money.
Yeah, it's cool. So, you know, when you're out on the road, do you listen to much music yourself when you're traveling? And if so, which bands are you listening to at the minute?
Oh, God, you know, it's just, I hate to say it, but lately I've been kind of listening to different types of programs that feed me different music that I wouldn't maybe think to play that day.
Yeah.
So I really like this program called Pandora.
You
plug in an artist and then they'll put on, like lately I've been listening to the Chambers Brothers.
Right.
And all the cool stuff that comes up when you listen to the Chambers Brothers, you know, if I plug in, somebody like Jack White, you know, I'll get Jack White, I'll get all of this stuff I've never heard of before, you know, that I really, really like. So, I'd have to say though, one of the most exciting acts for me in recent times has been, you know, Gary Clark Jr.
Yeah.
And I dig the Black Keys a lot.
Yeah.
And Derek Trucks and Susan Tedeschi.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing stuff, you know. And then my classic diet of blues and soul music and R&B, classic rock and stuff like that.
That's great.
It's too many dimensions.
Yeah, I know. No, that's some great artists. I love Gary Clark Jr. and all those bands you mentioned are all brilliant. So obviously, we've just started 2015. What are your plans this year? What have you got going on this year?
Well, we've been thinking about, we're working on getting songs together for a new project. At the very right at this moment, like in between, I took a break from working on some songs for the Legendary Rhythm and Blues Review, which we perform on the Blues Cruise coming up next week, where my band backs up three other artists.
Yeah.
And so we perform as the Painkillers, and then we also do two shows where we have these special guests on our show. And it's this time we're backing up Samantha Fish, Tasha Taylor. Tasha Taylor is Johnny Taylor's daughter. She's an amazing singer, songwriter, and performer. And then Danielle Nicole from Trampled Underfoot is also. So I got these three amazing females in on the show this time, and it's going to be quite an attraction.
Yeah.
I couldn't help myself. I mean, I've done these review shows a lot, and there's always at least one, woman artist, one strong member of the blues community representing the women, for some reason, I just felt like it would be really cool to get three of the most powerful performers that I think are the most exciting on the scene right now and put them all together on one Blues Cruise. So they're all Blues Cruise artists, people who have played on the cruise before. So there you go. I mean, that's how I met people like Trampled Underfoot, and that's how I met people like Samantha Fish and Tasha Taylor. We all met in that arena. So I just thought it'd be cool to put them all together on the show. And so I'm working on songs. Sorry about the long way around, but right now I'm working on getting the material down, and my band will come in tomorrow and we'll rehearse and we'll work on backing these people up as the best we can on that ship. And then once that work is done, we go out and have a good time on the cruise, and we'll come back home and we'll start to really seriously put ideas down for a new album.
Great. Okay, that sounds brilliant. Sounds like a good year. Any chance of you getting across to Europe?
Well, I'm working on that as well. We're trying to find out the best way that we could. You know, it's been a long time since we put together a tour. You know, we go over for festivals every year. There's something over there. We go, you know, to Belgium or France or. We play in the Netherlands or you know, Norway. We played in Italy.
Yeah.
We played in Switzerland. You know, we get like little festivals with maybe a couple other dates thrown in. Last year we stayed over for about 10 days, I think it was. But we need to come over like we used to do in the early 90s and play, or the mid-90s, I would say,
yeah,
and just come out and stay for a month, you know,
yeah,
touring around just playing clubs. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I'm working on the right business arrangement for that. We have an agent here in the U.S.
Yeah.
We're exclusive with. And so it's a little complicated being able to put that together for us right now. But the plan is to work even harder at that happening for us again in this year.
Yeah, there's a great blues scene in the UK, particularly at the minute. That's where I'm based. It's quite vibrant. Like you said, the likes of Mike and Sam have been over here, and the guys like the Royal Southern Brotherhood, and you know, there's a lot of great touring bands been coming over from the US. So it'd be good to see you here someday if you can get across.
Absolutely, yes. And we basically need the right agent.
Yeah.
In the UK to work with our agent over here, and it's been that's been something that's just been a little bit hard for us to hammer out for some reason recently. But I think there's some stuff in the works. We'll see.
Cool. Great. Okay, well, that's about all the questions I've got for you. It's been really great talking to you today, and I'd like to thank you for your time, and thanks for speaking to us here at National Rock Review.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. I sure appreciate you taking the time to give me a call.
Yeah.
How many miles away are we? About 7,000 miles?
Something like that. Yeah, it must be at least 7,000, I think.